The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 6. Glory to you, O Lord. King Herod heard of the disciples' preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, "John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him." But others said, "It is Elijah." And others said, "It is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old." But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, when I am beheaded, has been raised. John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officials and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, "Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it." And he solemnly swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom." She went out and said to her mother, "What should I ask for?" She replied, "The head of John the Baptizer." Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for his guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Santo Dios, confesamos que vivimos en un mundo que no es justo, que muchos sufren cuando lo hacen el correcto. Entonces pedimos tu justicia y paz y esperanza. Holy God, we confess to you that in this world many people suffer even when they do the right thing. And so we pray for your justice and peace to come into your world. In your name we pray. Amen. Good morning. Buenos días. Buenos días. Vamos a empezar con la primera lectura de Amos. We're going to begin with the first reading in Amos. Y hay un versículo aquí que es muy importante que muestra el problema que tenía el profeta Amos. We're going to start with a verse that really just clarifies the whole problem that Amos was dealing with. And that is verse 13, lucky number 13. If you look in your bulletin for the reading from Amos chapter 7, verse 13, versículo 13, en la lectura de Amos, dice, "But never again prophesy at Bethel." They're sending Amos away. They're sending him away saying, never preach again. Why? ¿Por qué? Porque este santuario pertenece al rey. Y este templo es del reino del rey. Esto es el problema. Verse 13 says, when they send Amos away, they don't like what he's saying. They say, why? Their justification, their reason? Because this is the king's sanctuary, and it's a temple of the kingdom. And that is the root of the whole problem. They had lost sight of the whole reason for getting together. A temple doesn't belong to an earthly king. Who does it belong to? Our heavenly king. And that was the whole reason Amos was there. He's saying, you've lost sight. Our worship and our praise is to God Most High, God of all nations. And as soon as you think that your sanctuary and your prophets serve your king, then you've lost the whole point. But they didn't like hearing that, and they sent him away. Amos dijo, el momento que tú piensas que tu templo, tu santuario, tus profetas están sirviendo al rey de la tierra, han perdido tu propósito de existir en el mundo. Porque hay solo un Dios que es Dios de todos los reinos. So what can we do so that we don't ever fall into the same trap, so that we don't make the same mistake that the false prophets in Samaria were making with Amos? Well, we have something we can use, the creed, el credo. El propósito del credo es ayudarnos a no hacer el mismo equivocación que aquellos profetas falsas, de perder el sentido y el propósito de Dios. The creed safeguards us so that we always remember that we belong to God alone. So let's take a look. Also, if knowing the creed is an expectation or a hope, strongly encouraged for all members. To be a member of the church, you should really have the creed memorized. So if someone's at the grocery store and they say, well, what do you believe? And you're not quite sure what to say, you just say the creed. So here we go. Saber y conocer el credo en el corazón de memoria no es expectación, pero es una sugerencia fuerte por todos los miembros. En el caso de que alguien le pregunta qué es lo que crees, tú puedes decir el credo. So let's try it. First in Spanish, and just feel free to say it out loud according to your comfort level. You don't have to get it perfect. It's a time to practice. Okay, todos juntos. Creo en Dios Padre Todopoderoso, Creador del cielo y la tierra. And here you see some nice illustrations. All right, now let's try it in English. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Entonces, el propósito del credo dice aquí que Dios es creador de toda la tierra, todo el cielo, y todos los países y reinos pertenecen a Dios. So by saying the creed, the first article, we confess that there's one God who's powerful over all of heaven and all of earth, so that all kingdoms, all sanctuaries, everything are under one God. And this right here is an excellent safeguard against the idolatry that Amos was criticizing. Esto es nuestra ayuda, que nosotros no hacemos el mismo idolaterio que hicieron los profetas falsos. If you were to put a word to this, what is it that God the Father, this is the first article of the creed, el primero. In a word, how would you describe God the Father? One God, but the Father. What does the Father do in a word, a verb? Si hubiera seleccionado un verbo para describir la actividad de Dios Padre, ¿qué será? What would you, huh? Create. Ding, 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 ding. Esto es creador. Yeah, the first article of the creed is that God creates. And again, it reminds us that the earth is good. Sometimes people say, oh, the earth is bad, it's disintegrating. Well, yeah, there's problems, but at its core, creation is good. It says in Genesis, God created the earth, the heavens, and it was good. God is our creator. Aquí decimos que Dios es el creador, y por eso la tierra es bueno, como dijo en Génesis. Excelente. So then we continue on to the second article of the creed. El segundo artículo del credo. Second article, segundo. All right, let's practice our Spanish. Everyone ready? Creo en Jesucristo, su único hijo, nuestro Señor. All right, we'll stop there. English? I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. To our ears, this doesn't sound really radical. Christianity's been around for 2,000 years. Obviously, Christians believe that Jesus is Lord. A nuestras orejas, esta no suena radical. Los cristianos han existido por 2,000 años, y claro, los cristianos crean que Jesucristo es el Señor. But when these words were written, they were radical. Cuando estas palabras estaban escritas, estaban radicales. ¿Por qué? Porque en aquellos años, el Señor fue César. These words are radical because when this creed was written, Caesar was Lord. And if you didn't say Caesar was Lord, you could be crucified just like Jesus. Si uno no confesó que el César era Señor, hubiera sido crucificado igual como Jesús. So we should never take for granted that when we say Jesus is Lord, we are saying there is a Lord who loves us that is beyond any other earthly king. Cuando confesamos, estamos diciendo otra vez que Jesucristo es el rey sobre cualquier otro rey en el mundo. All right, let's continue. Por favor, fue concebido por obra del Espíritu Santo y nació de la Virgen María. In English, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Again, this part of the creed for us stretches our imagination because of the virgin birth. Esta parte del credo estrecha nuestra imaginación en estos días, principalmente de hablar de la Virgen María. Pero, en los años de antigüedad, lo que fue fuerte y difícil es admitir que Jesús fue nacido como cualquier otro ser humano. But when the creed was written, the part about this that was difficult for people wasn't the virgin birth. There were other myths about gods being born of virgins. But what really stretched Christians' imagination and what was important about the creed was that Jesus was actually born. Because there was a temptation in the early church, even still today, to take Jesus and take his humanity, his earthliness out of him and just make him like a spiritual being that just kind of came down from heaven and went back up. But no. Core to Christian faith is that God could indwell in physical flesh and blood. That a human being that was born like any other human being could also be divine. Lo que era difícil para los creyentes de la antigüedad es creer que Dios pudiera ser con carne, ser humano, nacido como cualquier otro ser humano. And that's important for us because we who are flesh and blood, who deal with pain and loss and all the difficulties of living in a physical world, we have hope because Jesus knows exactly what we've been through. Es importante para nosotros porque cuando nosotros sufrimos en el cuerpo, cuando experimentamos dolor, sepamos que Jesús también era ser humano y experimentó también las mismas sentimientos y emociones. Jesus had the same feelings and emotions that we do. All right, this is the second part continued. A continuar en español, por favor. Padeció bajo el poder de Poncio Pilato, fue crucificado, muerto y sepultado, descendió a los muertos. In English, please. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. And there's an asterisk here. You can also use the word hell if you want. That's the more traditional thing. Either way is fine. Okay. When I was a youngster, I always wondered about how come in the Creed we don't talk about Jesus' life a whole lot.
Cuando yo era joven, yo pensaba, ¿por qué no hablamos de la vida de Jesús en el credo?
If you think about it, we go right from his birth to his death. Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered and died under Pontius Pilate. What about those 33 years? We don't say anything about it in the Creed.
¿Por qué no hablamos de los 33 años de Jesús? Él sanó, él predicó, él hizo muchos milagros.
He walked on water, he did miracles, he healed people, he taught, he preached, and we don't talk about that. Anybody have an answer? There's no right or wrong answer, but what I've learned over the years is that especially when we think about our gospel reading this morning from St. John the Baptist, you can do a lot of really cool stuff with your life. You can be smart. You can be high achieving. You can be like John the Baptist, who spoke to the king. He would criticize the king, and King Herod actually was like, it's annoying, but I like this guy. I want to hear what he has to say. You can do all that stuff right. And you can suffer and die at any moment.
Tú pudieras ser una persona 100% justo, como Juan el Bautista, haciendo muchas cosas buenas. Hablar la verdad al rey, el rey que tiene mucho poder. Pero en cualquier momento podemos morir y sufrir, como Juan el Bautista.
It's sobering. I know I heard it in your voices. After we read the gospel, we were singing, thanks be to God. And then I read the gospel and everyone went, thanks be to God. Because it's a hard one. John was beheaded. He didn't do anything wrong. He was a good guy.
Juan el Bautista no hizo nada cosa mal.
As Lutherans, we believe in the theology of the cross, el teología de la cruz. And what that says is that when Jesus suffered and died on the cross, that was the greatest thing that he did. To just be on the cross and to suffer so that when we suffer, we are not alone. He knows suffering. And some people would say, think about Job, right? When Job suffered, they said, you must have done something wrong. You must have done something wrong to bring God's wrath. But the whole point of Jesus suffering on the cross is to show us that when you suffer, even in death, you are not rejected by God. You are not necessarily being punished by God. But God is with us even in the suffering and the difficulty. That is salvation. Our sins, death, and the devil, none of it can separate us from God.
El propósito del credo y hablar directamente del sufrimiento de Jesús es para que cuando nosotros suframos no estamos solitos, para que nosotros sabemos que no es castigo de Dios, pero en sufrimiento todavía Dios está con nosotros. Ni la muerte, ni el diablo, ni los pecados puede separar nosotros del amor de Jesús.
And luckily that's not the end of the story. We continue. Al tercer día resucitó, subió a los cielos y está sentado a la diestra del Padre. In English, on the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. En español, volverá para juzgar a los vivos y a los muertos, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Muy bien. So, in a word, what's the second article of the Creed about? It's about Jesus, but what's the activity that Jesus does for us?
En una palabra, ¿cuál es el propósito del segundo artículo del credo de Jesús?
God the Father was about creator. Jesus is about Redeemer. Very good. Is that two for two, Ann?
Yeah.
All right. Way to go, Ann. He. Good. You paid attention in confirmation. All right, good.
And she's smart.
He is our Redeemer.
Redentor.
Another word, what's another word for redeemer?
Savior.
Yeah, exactly. Muy bien. All right, the third article of the creed.
Esto es muy importante, el tercero artículo del credo.
Let's say it together. Creo en el Espíritu Santo, la Santa Iglesia Católica, la comunión de los santos, el perdón de los pecados, la resurrección del cuerpo y la vida eterna. Amén.
In English, please. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In Luther's explanation of the third article of the Creed, which you might have had to memorize when you went through confirmation, and if you didn't, it's always a good time to learn it. You can come in and have a seat. Tomen asiento donde quiere, por favor. Están bienvenidos. Luther said, if you know it, you can say it with me. I cannot, by my own strength, believe in Jesus, my Lord, but the Holy Spirit has called me and enlightened me with the communion of saints. So again, Luther wrote, you can't. You cannot believe in Jesus on your own. Too much sin, too much brokenness. So that even if you believe in Jesus, you don't even get to brag about it. Well, I believe in Jesus. Well, that's good. But the whole reason why you can believe, why I can, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that comes into our heart and calls us to faith. We don't even get credit for it.
Lutero escribió en su explicación del credo, tercero artículo, que no somos capaces a creer en Dios. No podemos por el pecado que tenemos en el cuerpo y en el corazón, sino el Espíritu Santo es el que nos llama a creer, que nos da fe en el corazón, para que no podemos decir, oh, yo creo en Jesús. No, esto es bueno, pero es por obra del Espíritu Santo que uno puede creer.
And this is totally based in the Bible. Keep in mind that in Luther's day, the reading of the Bible among everyday people had kind of fallen by the wayside. Only those that spoke Latin or Greek or read it and then had access could do it. And so the understanding of salvation had turned into something that you have to earn. You got to earn it, was the teaching. You got to climb up those stairs to heaven, and each good work, each indulgence you did would get you closer and closer to God. And Luther read the Bible finally for himself. He said, that's not in the Bible.
En los tiempos de Lutero, había una enseñanza por falta de acceso de la Escritura que cada persona tenía que alcanzar al cielo, paso por paso, ganar salvación.
And just a perfect example of this is our reading from Ephesians that we studied at Bible study, and we were just really enjoying this past Thursday. Thank you, Connie, for doing such a great job at reading our passage this morning. But if you take a look at Ephesians, and you look at verse, it's all throughout here, but let's say, where does it talk about number, starting in verse 5? He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. If in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of grace that he lavished on us. Skipping to verse 11, in Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him. Verse 12, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. And it goes on and on. We talk about being destined for salvation.
Hablamos de ser destinado a la salvación. Dios escoge a nosotros. God chooses us.
One question that comes out of this is, well, then how come God hasn't chosen everybody, right? How come not everyone believes? And to that we say, well, not yet. Todavía no. But God does choose everybody, because it says in John, God so loved the whole world that he gave his son. God chooses everybody. We believe, we hope that eventually we all know that love of God through Jesus Christ.
Nosotros tenemos la esperanza que eventualmente todo el mundo va a tener fe y reconocer que Dios nos ama por gracia en Jesucristo.
So, if you were to give a word, well, there's a couple things to mention about in here. This one kind of throws people sometimes too. If we're Lutheran, then why do we say that we believe in the Catholic Church? And the thing to remember is that, is the C capitalized or not? It's not. And so we're not saying that we believe in the Roman Catholic Church, although they are our sisters and brothers that we respect and love. We're saying that we believe in a universal church. When C is lowercase, it means universal. Uppercase too, but we're not talking about a specific institution. We're talking about God's universal church that's only God knows that church. That's the church that's in God's mind. And we believe it. And we believe that we are a part of it. And it's not up to us to decide who's in it. It's up to God and the Holy Spirit.
Nosotros utilizamos la palabra católica no porque somos católicos romanos. Tenemos respeto, mucho respeto a la católica romana. Pero con C minúscula quiere decir universal. Que la iglesia de Dios es universal, más grande que luteranos, ni católicos, ni bautistas, es la iglesia de Dios.
The communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. So, in a word, what would the word you would put, what's the activity of the Holy Spirit?
¿Cuál es la actividad del Espíritu Santo? El verbo principal.
What would you say? So with us all the time. Mm-hmm. Good, good. Starts with an S. So God the Father is the creator. God in Jesus Christ is the redeemer. The Holy Spirit is the sanctifier. Sanctifier. Sanctificador. And what that means is to be made holy. The Holy Spirit is what makes us holy. God creates us, God saves us, and God makes us holy. So we are on a journey. We are on a journey. It's not a one and done. Every day we're learning and growing and being crafted into the image of God that would have us be. We just don't get to take credit for it. Whenever we do something right, it's because the Holy Spirit helped us.
Estamos en un camino, en una jornada, y todavía no hemos llegado. Y cuando lo hacemos bueno y correcto, todo el crédito está dado al Espíritu Santo, porque es el Espíritu que nos hace santo, poco a poco, más como un santo, de los santos en la iglesia.
Just like we believe that there are saints in the church, people that really got it right, the Holy Spirit is what is constantly moving us and prodding us to grow and to be closer to the people God created us to be. And so this is the creed. Any questions on the creed? ¿Preguntas del credo? Yes? Question up here? Is the creed a prayer? Yes. Yes, it's a prayer. Thank you. Good question. El credo es una oración. Is this the only creed? No, right? There's two other big ones that we share with the Roman Catholic Church, with Episcopalians, with Presbyterians. What are the other two? Athanasian and Nicene. Nicene, yeah. And the Nicene, they're both wonderful creeds, and we could have them in our worship anytime we would like.
Los otros credos de Niceno y Atanasio son bonitos y podemos tenerlos cuando queremos. They're just a lot longer. Okay, let's pray. Santo Dios, gracias por esta oportunidad recordar el poder de tu credo en nuestra vida. Ayúdanos en confesar nuestra fe utilizando estas palabras en forma de oración. Holy God, we thank you for your creed, which the church has discerned and written to help us, to safeguard us from idolatry, to give us strength and comfort, and help us to confess our faith using this creed as a faithful prayer to you. In your name we pray, amen. I invite you to stand as you are able, and we sing our hymn of the day. Por favor, pónganse de pie para cantar.
Church, let us confess our faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins,